Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Earl Forsey. Final hour of overtime here on Wednesday night. A little rainy out there. Be safe. We're with you until 10 for Rail on the Bench coming up at that point, an hour from right now. I'm Chris Russell, a.k.a. The Rooster.
I swear it's not raining, Rooster. I don't know where you're getting this.
Dude, all that water on our
windows. There's no water.
What do you mean?
It's dried water
droplets. It looks like water. I don't know.
Sean, somebody needs to clean the freaking windows. Can you please confirm that it's dry outside? Russell's giving erroneous false weather
information. Somebody needs to clean the damn windows because it looks like dried rain or it
and
looks
the answer
like rain.
Is?
It is not.
Thank you.
It rained at some point, didn't it?
No.
I don't think so, no.
You guys said it rained earlier.
You're right.
You guys said it rained earlier, so. Anyway.
Could you please rewind? If we had tape, could you rewind it? We don't have that.
I think you guys said it earlier.
I think you're the one that did.
I cannot be concerned. Now, should I have actually checked? Yes, but it looks very rainy out. It looks like it rained. The windows here are disgusting. That's not my fault.
Well,
it's just the area that is in. Like that. Specific area, but like it's a bunch of puddle.
They look disgusting.
It's my wife says with the car. Leave it. Get washed.
All right. Real quickly here. Here's something I want to get to, and we'll get to Michael and Waldorf in a second. We're asking if you have any confidence at all. Are you feeling froggy or no chance, very little chance, however you want to define it, or reasonably confident? I'm feeling reasonably confident. I know Earl's feeling reasonably confident about Sunday. Here's
optimistic. I don't know confidence.
Okay.
I'm not ready to go
confident. Okay, you're optimistic.
I'll be called the homer and the guy
I'll say I'm reasonably confident, but here's what I'm reasonably confident about. I believe the Redskins are going to have chances to win this game or to tie it or to take the lead or to do something to put them in position to win week one at Philly. I believe that will happen late third quarter, early fourth quarter. The question now then becomes, will they commit a turnover, a stupid holding call, a stupid personal foul because they get all hot to trot and they argue with an official and they throw a 15-yard flag? Will they do something stupid to burn themselves, to take themselves out of it? That's why I'm not picking them to win, because I don't have faith that they can overcome that.
No, you can't be, because these guys haven't been on the field together at
but
all.
But I'm reasonably confident, or I'm optimistic, to use your word, whether it's different, the same, whatever, that they will have their chances to perhaps win this game late third quarter, early to mid fourth quarter.
Boy, I hope so. I'm so looking forward to watching football again. I just don't, I don't want to sit through a second half.
Let me ask you this. You're a diehard Redskins fan. If they lose,
I grew up that way, yes.
Right, if they lose a close game, if they lose 27-24, I know you would want to win, but is that okay?
It all
in your
depends
books?
On how they lose and what they look like. I mean,
well,
it's big
picture.
Well,
if you're losing 27-24, assuming it's not 27-0, and then you make a miraculous comeback
or something, no.
Right.
But if they play really good defense, maybe Case Keenum has one or too many two turnovers that you can't afford, or somebody like you said puts a ball on the ground or. Left
not,
side
not
of the line collapses.
Down, not if they're
that you're
down 27-0. Five minutes to go before halftime, and then they score 24 points.
Help could be on the way. I mean, we'll see now next week. Trent Williams, we'll see where these reports go. Ian Rappaport.
Let me ask you this.
Pretty confident that it's going to end week two.
What
they need to do, Roosters, steal one of these two. You have to beat the Giants.
I agree.
You're not going to beat, I'm going to say right now, you're not going to beat New England. You can't expect to win that game.
Right. I don't think you can expect to win the Monday night football game against the Bears. You can hope.
But
you can. You can.
We'll see. We'll see.
Right.
The Bears are who we thought they were. Remember the late great Denny Green said, are the Bears who we thought they were before last season or who we think they are now?
If you're 2-3 in this first five-game stretch, you take that.
And you're in good shape.
You take that.
Yeah.
Now, you still have a lot of work to do, but you take that. Here's my question. What if they're down 24-0 at halftime? on Sunday, and the obviously
I'll tell you what, man, that's gonna be pretty tough, man.
Okay, obviously the offense would have done nothing, right? Whether they shot themselves in the foot after moving the ball, whatever the reason is, if it's 24-0 at halftime, do you resist all temptation to go to Dwayne Haskins? Because Colt McCoy is going to be the inactive quarterback for week one.
Well, you don't want to throw him to the Wolves to start week one. Why would you even want to throw him even more to the Wolves in a 24-0 game without prepping with the first team offense?
To see if he can give you a
spark.
To see if he can give you a spark.
If it were me, sure, I would. But if it's him, I don't know. But there's a pretty short leash, I'm guessing, on Coach Gruden here this year. Two wins, and the more critical ones are if you get the Giants games, which you have to look at these early games. That's the one you can win. You should win. You're looking at, okay, we can do that. You got to steal one against Philly or Dallas.
Yeah.
Much rather have, again, for division, better to have one of those two than even a win against Chicago.
No, I agree. Or even New England, for that matter.
Yeah.
I mean, Philadelphia, Dallas is much more important than week three or week five, for sure. Absolutely.
So, and two out of five to start the season would not be too bad. That would be like, okay, a little reassessment, and maybe we move on here, and there's a chance.
If you're 2-3. All right, let's get to...
You're 2-3, but 1-4 is not a death blow, but it's pretty close.
Yeah, I would agree with you. 1-4 is certainly not ideal. I do agree that it's not a death blow because of the gauntlet of the schedule. However, you would feel pretty good about yourself at 2-3. You would feel great about yourself if somehow, some way, you could get.
But 1-4, the noise starts. Then people are like, "Well, who's the next coach?" You know what's going to happen.
I agree.
So that's the problem with that. Is just what it would lead to would be, you know, the dirges being sounded. And
my fear is that they're 2-1 going into the Giants game, and they're feeling good about themselves.
See, that
and then
can't
they
happen.
Lose and they throw
2-1 going to the Giants game would be 3-1 coming out of the Giants game.
You don't think they would throw up all over themselves?
No, of course, because we've seen it in these must
well,
wins.
That's what I'm saying.
But number one, Kirk Cousins not the quarterback. That's a plus. Because those are the games that came up very small.
I mean, Kirk, he was 0-2 going into week 3 at MetLife in 2016. And he played a whale of a ball game and they won.
But the must, I'm talking about the must win game. And that would be
a must win game. They couldn't go 0-3, I can tell you that much.
Continue that trend in Minnesota. I mean, which way do you want to go with this?
I
can give you bad, you can give me the good.
I'm just telling you.
And I can give you as much bad as you can give me good.
I'm just telling
you. On that one.
All right, let's quickly.
There's a lot of folks that want to tap out on him already in Minneapolis.
Well, they're done too. Let's go to Michael and Waldorf.
Like I am.
I didn't say that.
Hey,
Michael
guys.
And Waldorf. Hello, Michael. How are you?
Great. How are you doing? Hate to bring reality to you guys. I am a Redskins fan, so I don't want you to think I'm being negative. Number one, you can't have A and B players on defense and have a D-minus defensive coordinator and expect the whole team's to 13 to 16 points or less, because that's all the offense is going to score. So if you really are fooling yourself to think Jay Gruden, who is a D-minus head coach, and Greg Minuski, who is a D-minus defensive coordinator, is going to get A and B players to play good, you're fooling yourself. This is not the NBA. You can do that with the NBA. And I know, Rooster, you're going to disagree with me. You need coaching, not only for X's and O's, but for mentality. You cannot take a pussycat coach like Jay Gruden and expect to have a relentless dog-fighting team. It's not going to happen.
No, I would agree with you, Michael, but here's my question. I mean, outside of Bill Belichick, who is not an angry bear to his players, but is a, you know, just like, you do things our way or no way, outside of that, I mean, who is this relentless pit bull of a coach that you're talking about in today's game? I mean, there are not many guys like that, if any. They're all super soft, you know, lovey dovey, like pat you on the ass, hug you, and play rap music at practice type guys. I mean, they've adjusted. I mean, the game, you know, players today are much, much softer than they used to be. Much softer.
Well, you just proved my point. What coach is it? And who always wins?
Well, do you think Doug Peterson? But do you think Doug Peterson is like that? I mean, do you think Pete Carroll is like that? I don't.
No. Here's the key. we cannot minimize. Number one, let's take Greg Minuski. Let's take the X's and O's. Greg Minuski has proven he cannot make adjustments. So what's going to happen is if you think these A and B players on defense, I think they're overrated, but if you think these A and B players, everyone's excited and everything's about the defensive line and all this and all that, if you really think if they are A players, I guarantee you they would not play like A players. They may have one or two games out of the year, but they're going to be consistently giving up 25 to 30 points a game, and the excuses are going to start. We don't have coaches.
All right, Michael, I appreciate the phone call.
He calls a post game. Thank you for that, too, because we've talked about this.
So they don't have coaches.
No, I'd say Landon Collins is an A player.
Yeah.
I would say, hopefully, you drafted Montez Sweat to be an A player.
Yeah. I would say Landon Collins is an A player with some flaws if he gets beaten coverage by Zach Ertz down the seam for a 30-yard game.
That's not his job on that team.
Well, it is part of his job. I mean, you didn't pay him $85 million over 6 years to never cover anybody in space.
Yeah, I mean, a safety is...
But I'm saying, is that the...
That's what they call him, a safety, because...
But is that Ray Horton's fault that if he gets beat for a 30-yard touchdown down the seam by a great tight end?
To say there's no good players in that defense is patently
false. What he's saying is if you have a so-called A player, which, again, you're identifying Landon Collins, in your opinion,
a bunch of them,
as an A player. Jonathan Allen would be probably considered an A player.
Well, some would argue, but certainly Daron Payne is. Oh. Remember, Daron Payne is a kid.
But what I'm saying is if they don't play up to their performance, is that on the player or is that on the coach? Or do you give credit to the opposing team? I mean, I think it's a little combination of everything, right?
It's hand in hand, there's no doubt. And you've got a coach here that's, you know, been living off 7-9 for some fans' opinions, that fan certainly, too long. And I can't disagree if you have the same kind of scenario shaping up this year where you're basically a 500 football team or a little bit worse.
We got to go into the game plan lab. How can the Redskins win this game on offense? We'll get that from Earl and myself and from you, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. That's next. Craig Heist just after 9:30 to talk about the Nats and more on The Fan. All righty, we welcome you back. Craig Heist in about 10 minutes or so. Earl, I have come up with a little bit of a game planage. And, oh, by the way, I forgot to mention, my guy John tweeted me.
I saw.
And I tagged you guys because he didn't tag you guys. He said, tell them to apologize. It's definitely raining in D.C. right now. Thank you, John.
Well, we're in D.C. and it's not raining.
So. Well, we're in Southeast. There's Northeast. There's Northwest.
Yeah, I was
there's
up
Southwest.
By the Silver Spring line, you know. It looked like. There was a little nasty little cell
up
there.
Okay, all right. So stop making fun of your boy.
There's a cone of uncertainty over D.C.
Yeah, there's a cone of there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of cones, I can tell you that much. I need an ice cream cone right now. Anyway, I have come up with a little bit of a game plan that I wanted to bounce off of you as to how the Redskins can win this game. The Eagles have four corners on their active roster right now. They have Ronald Darby, who's been banged up coming off of a torn ACL in the knee and hasn't played a whole lot. So that's one. Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox, who's really good, slot, inside, can play outside as well, but he's expected to go against Trey Quinn on the inside. And Rasul Douglas, who's had a really good camp, talked to a buddy of mine, Adam Kaplan, in Philadelphia, who, of course, has done a lot of national stuff, and he was kind of giving me some insight on the Eagles this morning via text. So I would say this. The Eagles have talent at corner. They don't have depth at corner. To me, especially with some guys that have, you know, specifically Darby, banged up, hadn't played, I would attack them, and I know people are going to go crazy with this because everybody's kind of expecting guys. I would try and attack them through the air at the corner spot first and test them to see how good they are. And here's how I would do it. I would run, even against this pass rush, I would run some four and maybe even possibly five receiver spread sets early on in this game, Earl. See if you can pick on them. See if you can throw a quick out and break a tackle. See if they miss a tackle on the boundary, on the sideline, on the numbers, whatever it might be. Even on a little slant pass, try and get into a window of space. See how good tackling they are, how good their legs are, how into the game they are. And to me, again, I think you thin out their box a little bit and therefore thin out their pass rush a little bit, even though theoretically you might not have 6- and 7-man protections. I think you can do that, and then you hit them with a jet sweep, maybe a play-action boot to the other side. I think there's things that you can do with Kevin O'Connell and Tim Wirthe and Jay Gruden to kind of spice up this
which
offense.
Which is, Jay's still calling plays.
Yeah. I know,
mean,
but
that's
they'll
the
have
thing.
I think they'll have an influence. I think they'll have a pretty strong influence.
So what do we see different from last year then, really?
Remember, Kevin O'Connell wasn't anywhere near as instrumental in the game planning and in the play.
Paul Richardson never was healthy last year, so they didn't have that speed. Now, they've kept a bunch of it. And for, you know, I mean, there's a lot of talk about, well, you know, Doxson at least is a guy who, while a disappointment, had put up some numbers, et cetera, et cetera. You know, what they did was they kept all the speed guys, right? We're just talking about maybe Cole Holcomb starts.
Yeah.
Possibly alongside John Bostic. That's about speed.
Yeah.
They've tried to add, you know, a lot of it. Now it has to translate in football plays and football speed. But
yeah.
You're going to have McLaurin and Richardson on the outside. You can test that defense. Do you want to test it through the air to set up the run? Or do you want to run to set up the stuff through the air? That's a question, but Case Keenum can throw the quick ball.
I think the new age offense and all the analytics is passed to set up the run.
But now, are they built that way? With Geis,
I want to establish the run, of course, and I want to see what I have in him, and then maybe you roll in Adrian Peterson every two series or whatever, however they decide the rotation. But I will also say this against a team that is thin at corner and a team that is somewhat banged up at corner and young at corner. And again, Avante Maddox is really good, but he's only going into his second year. Sidney Jones was really good in college, was a second round pick, had a bad injury, is still young, still raw, still inexperienced. To me, I think there are some matchups to be had, especially if Jordan Reed plays in this game.
That's
because you know Jordan Reed will occupy a lot of attention.
Stuff in the
that
middle.
Should free up one-on-one matchups for you to
Zach
do
Brown
your
can't
thing.
Cover tight ends,
yes,
right?
Well, not only can he not cover, yeah, absolutely. If you can get him to walk down on
please,
a tight end, spread
please.
It out,
yeah.
Or if you can just get him on a couple of crossers, absolutely. I mean, there are matchups to be had for the Washington Redskins in this. Now, I have no idea if they're going to be able to hold up on the left side. Now, you know what? I have no idea if they're going to be able to hold up on the right side, even with Scherff and Moses, never mind the left side. But to me, I'm using a quick tempo passing game. I'm using a short slants, naturally designed screens, Earl, shallow digs or shallow crossing route. I'm doing all the short to intermediate stuff to test them out, to see how good they are at tackling, to protect my offensive line, to get Case Keenum into a rhythm. Please do these things that Jay Gruden does not do enough of.
Well, the only time that offense, even with Alex Smith, was in any kind of rhythm last year was the season opener against Arizona.
Maybe against Green Bay first
a little bit,
half.
Okay.
Maybe against
first,
Green Bay
one
first half.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, they weren't very
so
good in the second half.
Now, but yeah, you're right. But that was, you know, so they've shown last year they can kind of come out, and we didn't know what to expect from Adrian Peterson, remember, that first game last year, and he was looking like, you know, AP in a Vikings uniform. So they had a plan last year, and I think maybe it's for a lot of Darius Geis this year.
Yeah.
I mean,
the Arizona, obviously, very different than Philadelphia.
I know, but, you know, the way Jay Gruden is selling this, and it's either the great deception before game one, or that you're talking about Adrian Peterson spelling Darius Geis. It doesn't sound like there's going to be much spelling going on. And Jay's talking about his ability to catch the football, to be an every down back. Chris Thompson's going to get third down reps. There might not be a lot of carries for Adrian Peterson.
I still think you can get Adrian Peterson a series here and there. Or,
we'll see.
You know, if it's an 8, 9, 10 play series, I think you can sprinkle in Adrian Peterson in goal line situations or inside the red zone, inside the 10. I will tell you this, the key, ultimate key, real quickly wrapping this up before we get to Heist, the ultimate key in this game is, can they convert on third down? Philadelphia was a top six defense on third down last year, and can they convert in the red zone? And if they get a goal-to-goal situation, Philadelphia was number one in the NFL on defense in both red zone touchdown percentage allowed and goal-to-goal situation and touchdown allowed. They have got to be able to convert on third down and when they get their opportunities in the red zone and goal-to-goal situations. All right, Earl's got a flash coming up here. In just a moment, Craig Heist will join us on the other side. We'll talk plenty of Nats, maybe a thought or two on the Redskins as well, and the Ravens, and Heisty is at all of these games, so we'll get his feedback on
If you're talking Ravens, I'm heading out. There's no interest on this side of the table.
I still want to.
Did you hear how I opened the show last week?
I know. You hate Baltimore. You hate New York. You hate Boston. You hate Philadelphia. You hate Charlotte. You hate Charlottesville.
I don't hate Richmond. Charlotte. I don't hate Richmond.
You hate me.
Richmond's doing great.
You hate me.
Really.
Here's Earl Forcia, then Craig Heist will join us on the other side.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Cup Chris Russell, Earl Forcia will rejoin in just a second. The Nationals race for Red October on the Fan is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland or online at PVI.com. Yes, correct. PVI.com. Joining us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline is our buddy Craig Heist, who is our Nationals insider beat reporter at Nationals Park. He was for all three games of this series, in which the Nationals lose 2 out of 3. Heisty, appreciate your time here late on a Wednesday night. What was up with Anibal Sanchez today? I mean, he's been so good since early May. Little bit off at times in some of these starts. Obviously gave up a couple of long balls to Lagares and Cano. Just one of those rough days at the office a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's probably it. He'll probably tell you he didn't command anything today. And you remember the one pitch that he threw to the backstop over the head of Kurt Suzuki? That does not happen very often for Anibal Sanchez. But I just think it was one of those games where a player or two here or there, and he might have had a little bit of a better fate, but certainly his stuff wasn't as good today, and they hit some home runs and made him pay for it. Chalk it up and come back the next time and see what you can do, because he'll get a start not in this Braves series, but when they go to Minnesota.
Yeah, which is, oh, by the way, and I forgot to mention, Alonso hit his 45th in the fifth, so it was actually three home runs. Sanchez today. But by the way, Minnesota has already eclipsed the single season home run mark as a team, and you mentioned he'll, you know, and that was before the calendar turned from August to September. So certainly it will not be easy at Target Field when they get there to Minneapolis. That's an interesting matchup. They need, obviously, Anibal Sanchez to be what he has been for the basically last part of the, you know, better part of the last 3 months. Just one more on the starter. Zach Wheeler wasn't great either, Heisty. They had plenty of opportunities early in this game. Again, he gave up 7 hits in only five innings. You know, he only gave up the one run. They had base runners really throughout the early part of this game and chances, and yet he wiggled out of jam after jam.
Yeah, and one of them was a bases loaded jam, and the other thing is, and that's after the sixth inning, had left 10 men on base already, and they had left 7 on through the first 3. So not coming up with clutch hits was a problem today, but give Wheeler a lot of credit because his pitch count was astronomical after 3 innings, and yet he was able to still manage to gut his way through 5, so give him a lot of credit where that's concerned. But the Nationals did have opportunities against him, didn't capitalize.
So, Heist, good to talk to you again. So the big series in Atlanta, they're 7 back now, 7 games to play against Braves next 10 days. So really division title, if there's any hopes of it, pretty much on the line in Atlanta this week, and a split isn't good enough, is it?
No, split's not good enough, but if you win 2 out of 3, you'll be 5 out and 4 in the loss column, because right now, it's even though there are 7 games back, there's 6 in the loss column. So if you win 3 out of 4, you can wind up gaining some ground, and then you take your chances when they come back up here later in the month for 3 after they get home from Minnesota. But again, you'll have a real good idea after these next 4 games as to whether it's
just fighting to hold on to that top wild card spot or not. And right now they hold a 3-game lead over the Cubs. And, you know, the whole idea here is if they can't win the division, and then granted, right now it's a long shot, but if you get the home field for the wild card game, you have to feel pretty good about that, and I think they're quite capable of doing that.
Craig Heist with us, our Nationals beat reporter insider on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Again, the Nationals race for a red October on the Fan is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVIPVI.com today. So a couple of things here as they go to Atlanta, and obviously they will have some pitching matchups in their favor, starting with Strasburg, and obviously their big three, Strasburg, Corbin, and as well Max Scherzer. Let me see, is going to pitch the final game of the series.
Joe Ross in between,
of
yep.
Sunday, right. So they need obviously a better start than Joe Ross gave them on Labor Day. That'll be, what, Saturday, I believe, if I'm counting right. So, again, we all understand it starts and ends with the starting pitching, and if that's really good, then they give themselves a chance. And in two of the three games of this Mets series, again, it was not very good. That's a very dangerous lineup to go against. How are you feeling about this bullpen, Heisty? Because, again, it continues to be the so-called Achilles heel of this team. It wasn't terrible today, but Rodney did give up an insurance run. Doolittle still working his way back. Now they maybe get Aaron Barrett back into the fold, obviously, as he comes up here. They do have the extra arms, but Elias wasn't very good last night. Hudson wasn't great last night. How are you feeling kind of going into this series about this bullpen and the ability to match up with some of the lefties like Freddie Freeman that Atlanta has and more?
Well, you only have two lefties right now in that bullpen, and that's Elias and Doolittle.
Right.
So, again, you know, Freddie Freeman's just a natural-born Nationals killer, and that doesn't make any difference whether you're throwing from the right side or the left side. It's going to be about matchups. It's going to be about, them finding some consistency. I mean, you said they weren't that bad today. No, they weren't, and they threw 5 1/3 scoreless the night before. So, again, are they capable? Yeah, but can they do it on a consistent basis? That remains to be seen, and can they do it in tough, high-leverage situations? And, you know, again, the MO of this bullpen throughout the year is that you have to hold your breath sometimes when they're involved. So you hope your starters give you 6, 7, you know, and then turn it over. There's less of a chance of bad things happening at that point if you can get your starters to go 6 or 7 innings.
And I guess the question, you talked about Elias, who's a lefty that doesn't pitch well to lefties,
yeah,
which is a problem.
Yeah.
And still, we don't know.
And that's one of the reasons why he was brought here, was to get left-handed hitters out.
Yeah, I know. Well, it hasn't worked.
I mean, the splits weren't good when he got here, and it hasn't worked out so far.
It's kind of what,
in a limited
what
tip,
you see is what you get. And Sean Doolittle. So what happened today? He slipped on the mound.
Well, Doolittle made a normal windup, from the stretch, but came to the plate, and the tendonitis, the one that he's been the plant foot, kind of gave out on him, and he kind of fell down on the ground, and then he got back up after they came out and looked at him. He threw a couple of warm-up pitches, deemed himself okay, and he stayed in the ball game the rest of the way. So, again, going forward, when you have a guy that's trying to get consistent velocity back to where it was before he went on the IL, and and just trying to find his form again, they're trying to pitch him in less high-leverage situations until that happens. But again, I mean, I'm to the point right now where I'm not nearly as confident throwing Doolittle out there as in a closing situation with a one-run lead that I was before this year.
I mean, that's a concern, though. I mean, he comes back.
Oh,
he was on
no
the
question.
DL for, what, how many weeks? What is it, 3 weeks he was on the DL?
He was out 2 full weeks.
2 full weeks.
Yeah.
And seemingly there's still an issue there. And the next issue may be the last one for a guy that if you're going to make this run into the playoffs – you're going to need Sean Doolittle, and you're going to need the guy, the Sean Doolittle, midway through the season, not the one we've had now late in the season.
Right, and you're going to need Sean Doolittle, Earl, and you're also going to need Max Scherzer And, you know, Max looked more like Max last time out, except for the fourth inning when he gave up, you know, the four runs in that one inning. So, again, he's working his way back now. He threw, you know, he went from 71 pitches to 89 pitches, and then he threw 90 pitches and came out of the game the other day. I'll expect him to be full throttle pretty much the next time around. He says he feels good the day after he pitches, so he's going to get the start. I believe it's in the last game of this series on Sunday afternoon, because you wind up with Strasburg, Corbin, and then Joe Ross,
right.
and then with Scherzer the final game of the series. They're facing a couple of lefties to start the series down in Atlanta, which means you'll probably see a little bit more of Brian Dozier. And Dozier had a talk with, you know, Dave Martinez about, you know, maybe platooning a little bit with Asdrubal Cabrera, because Cabrera is swinging a pretty hot bat right now. And although he, you know, today he hit two balls right on the screws to the right fielder, so he's still swinging a really good bat. It's going to be interesting to see how much time Brian Dozier gets coming down the stretch.
Well, look at this matchup, these matchups. Strasburg tomorrow night. So that's the one you can't always say this is, you know, you're expecting.
Yeah, but he's going
things.
Against Max Fried, who's 15-4 with
he's your money guy. To me, Corbin and Dallas Keuchel Friday, that's the pivotal game.
Because
if Strasburg gets the job done, you've got Ross on Saturday. You don't know now. For you to win 3 out of 4 if you need to, it's. You know, you Strasburg, you're hoping he comes through like he has all year. It's Corbin Keuchel with Max on Sunday afternoon.
I mean,
that's the pivotal game Friday night.
You got to get your big three, obviously, to deliver in a big spot. Heisty, we're out of time. Appreciate you coming aboard with us. Thanks so much. Good to see you at the ballpark last couple of days. And we'll be looking forward to chatting once again here as this big series unfolds.
All right. Should be a fun weekend.
There you go. It's Greg Heist. Make sure you follow him at C Heist Sports. The Nationals race for a red October here on 106.7 The Fan is presented by PVI Office Furniture. Fast, excellent, affordable. Business grows with PVI. Visit their showroom in Frederick, Maryland, or online at PVI.com today. Back to wrap it up on The Fan in just a moment. All right, we wrap things up. We only have about 3.5 minutes or so before we say goodbye. Make way for Pharrell on the bench. Earl Forsey, I'm Chris Russell, Sean Summers on the other side of the glass. Earl, you know what happens tomorrow night, huh?
Yes, the NFL season, the 100th NFL season
there
gets underway.
There you go. Somehow, some way, Chicago and Green Bay, which have been around for 100 years, right?
Yeah.
There's another team that's been around for, or another organization that's been around for 100 years, and they got squeezed out of tomorrow night because you can't play a three-way match, you know. Three-way game.
Well, you could winner plays the next guy.
Perhaps.
A little double dip.
You know who that team is, though? That organization?
No.
You, Mr. NFL? I thought you would have this lock, stock, and barrel. I didn't know it is either. Until I went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's the Cardinals.
Oh, the Cardinals, yes.
Yeah. I mean,
because it was, I think,
like Chicago and then to St. Louis and then to Arizona.
We can do without that.
Whatever.
We had a couple of good teams. Yeah. Although, the coaching change, Matt LaFleur now in Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers has not played at all in the preseason.
Nope.
Look, and things are going to change, and I'm not predicting, I'm not wishing, not doing any of that. But week one of the season, there's going to be a key injury somewhere.
Yeah.
A devastating something that just throws a division or a favorite upside down.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have is Bears-Packers tomorrow night in the 100th season kickoff game.
Right.
The Bears, interesting because this is an early opponent for the Redskins,
yes.
And there is some thought that last year was lightning in a bottle kind of for them, and maybe they're not as good. You know, everybody's looking at that game, Khalil Mack and all that stuff on a Monday night. Maybe they're not quite the Bears who we thought they were last year, so it's going to be interesting to see, are they really that team that made a run last year?
And this is the second consecutive year these two teams have opened up against each other, obviously a division rivalry, a great rivalry in general. You mentioned Matt LaFleur, who I covered here with the Redskins as the quarterback coach. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers.
A lot of former Redskin assistants out there, aren't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here, interesting note on this game. 7 of the last 9 seasons, winner of that game at Soldier Field has won that division.
Ooh, I like that.
And fifth, and this is the sign of hope for the Redskins or any other team that you may root for, but certainly in D.C. it is, 15 of the last 16 seasons, at least one team has won its division the season after finishing last place. Now, the Redskins weren't last, but they were close enough to it last year in the NFC. It's the kind of the nature of the NFL where basically the last few years, Chris, 50% of the playoff teams turn upside down every year now.
I have a feeling the Packers win tomorrow night, and here's why. Obviously, Rodgers, LaFleur, that's going to be interesting, and seeing where Rodgers is at, yes. But that Green Bay defense got a makeover, including Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, who came over from the Baltimore Ravens, Adrian Amos, who came over from the Chicago Bears. Really good free safety. I think that's going to be a really interesting, you know, the Bears offense is creative, but it's still not, you know, Trubisky still has a lot to prove to me in terms of taking that next step up to being a really good NFL quarterback.
First time in 8 years also, the insane touchdown posse. My team has no interest in the Packers game because I don't have Aaron Rodgers this year. I finally tapped out.
Finally done for business.
Yeah, I went with the kid. Went Pat Mahomes. I can't resist 50 touchdown passes.
All right. Thanks to Craig Hoffman. Thanks to Craig Heist. We have the market cornered on Craig's for our guest. Thanks to you guys for calling and listening. Earl, thank you very much.
Had fun.
Appreciate you.
I'm
Countdown
sure some
to kickoff
of the
Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Sean Summers, great job as always. I'll see you on Saturday afternoon on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.